The new film Babylon delivers us to Hollywood of the 1920s and 30s. And yep, as the name suggests, it is wild and indulgent. One larger-than-life character goes by the name Lady Fay Jew. She's a performer who first appears at a drunk bacchanal of a party, singing a risque song. Here's a part that we can play on the radio.
And while often she goes out at night, she's always back before the light. No matter what the weather's like, we always have a ball. She's never dirty, always clean. In giving thrills, she's never mean. But it's the best I've seen, and I've seen them all.
Babylon was written and directed by the Academy Award winner Damien Chazelle. And joining us now is the actor who plays Lady Fay Jew in Babylon, Lee Jun Lee. Welcome, and what a scene that is.
Thank you. I know. It was definitely a scene that made my jaw drop when I initially read the script.
Yeah, let's set it up here. So you are dressed in a top hat and tuxedo, like Marlene Dietrich, the film star. Mm-hmm. And you're singing this oh-so-quiet song in the middle of this crazy, let's be honest, orgiastic party. What was that scene like?
I first would like to say how much I love that you used the word orgiastic. it was exactly that. It was a party scene that took us about 2 weeks to film. And it sounds like an amazing experience partying for 2 weeks straight, but as you know, it gets pretty exhausting after just a few hours. Yet every single take that we did, people gave it their all, and we really just had an amazing time.
Well, I got to screen it, and the sensory overload is still with me. My ears are still ringing. If the goal was to deliver on the excesses of Hollywood in the 20s, yeah, mission accomplished. But as far as the film, what's the essential story here?
The story is, as Damien calls it, an F-U to Hollywood and a love letter to cinema. And it is about the transition between the silent films into the talkies. And then you have this group of performers and actors at the time and how they dealt with the transition.
Your character, Lady Fay Jew, is described as the emerald of the East and an ornament of the Orient. So I'm hearing stereotypes.
Well, the thing is, Lady Fay Jew was written based on Anna May Wong, who was the first Asian American actress or Chinese American actress in Hollywood. And in a lot of my research, we learned that both Damien and I, in our creation of Lady Fay, we knew that back then they needed to play into the fetishization and the stereotypes in order for her to really survive in the industry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Anna May Wong, as some of us know, she's about to be on a quarter in our currency. And as you say, first Chinese-American film star. We have a little sound from one of her films. This is from Daughter of Shanghai from 1937.
In your prayers tonight, say a prayer for me, Lu Chang, to give me courage, to make me fearless, to prove myself my father's daughter.
Now, Anna May Wong had trouble getting roles in Hollywood and eventually moved to Europe to work in film. There's a lot of talk now about diversity in film and providing these opportunities. You think things are changing?
Yes, I just wanted to bring up the fact that Anna May Wong famously said that she died at 1,000 deaths because she was often pigeonholed into playing either the dragon lady or the villain, and she never survived a single film because she was always killed. And she was famously rejected from playing the Asian female lead in The Good Earth because the male lead was Caucasian. And to answer your question, how it's progressed over the last 100 years, unfortunately, it's only been changing over, I think, maybe the last 10 years or so, at least at the level that we'd like to see it. I know I started acting in 2008 or so, and back then there were barely any roles for me. So when there was one show that needed one Asian character, oftentimes she was, you know, an accent was required of her, or she was often playing just a friend or a co-star. And it wasn't until the last 5 years did the Asian community kind of come together and made this much noise. And I'm finally seeing the movement that should have been happening at least in the last 50 years.
And now you get to stand on the shoulders of so many others who have worked for a long time to deliver today. I want to ask about you. You were born in Shanghai, where my mom was born. You moved to Colombia and then to New York City when you were 9 or so. When did you realize, you know, I want to be an actor?
I never did. I was, and still am, I'm pretty shy and socially awkward. And when I was a kid, like most Asian parents would send their kids to Saturday school for some activities. And instead of, I guess, cello or piano, I was sent to Chinese classical dance school. And I think that was kind of my little getaway, my own little way of expressing myself. And I just fell in love with being on stage. Obviously, when you go to Chinese dance school, they have recitals every so often.
Yeah.
And in my high school, they had annual musical productions where they allowed us to audition for any parts of a musical. And that was kind of my gateway into acting, because I fell in love with not only dancing on stage, but the ability to sing and act at the same time. And so when it came time to audition for college, I went in straight for acting.
Well, good for you for making good on what you were subjected to on the weekends. I was subjected to mandatory Chinese language school, and I'm still scarred by it. So I'm happy to hear you were able to thrive.
I had those moments too. I went to Chinese school. Nothing really stuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I want to come back to the film for a little bit. Your character offstage is working as a writer for silent films, living above a laundromat with her family. There's a message here, yeah, about the drudgery behind the glamour of Hollywood, what's really happening kind of in the kitchen?
Yes. Damien has brought this up numerous times also. He said it wasn't uncommon back in the day for actors to have other roles in the industry to make a living. As Brad Pitt's line in the movie says, no actors or dogs allowed. Actors were not treated the same way they are today. They were not really regarded as celebrities. And, you know, through the discovery of filmmaking, it was really very much like playtime when it first began. And as you can see in the film, in the scene with the 700 extras, they were hired on Skid Row in exchange for a meal. And oftentimes they would get hurt because there were no unions there to protect anyone.
Yeah.
And so people were really just holding multiple roles back in the day. And I know that Lady Faye had to do what she had to do. And also it helped that she was extremely clever and witty, and she was able to write such wonderful title cards.
Yeah. And finally, you know, when people think about seeing Babylon, I mean, we have described it as this incredibly sensory experience. But what do you want the audience to take away from this film?
I really hope that this film would inspire people to go back to the cinemas. I think it's great that we have the convenience and also the safety of streaming services that we can enjoy in the comfort of our own homes. Mm-hmm. But when you have a film like Babylon or even some other films recently, I don't think you can really achieve that same experience no matter how big your at-home theater is. And there's a reason why people go still to the theater. You're surrounded by not just the magnitude of, you know, the scale of the screen, but also the sound and also the energy that you can get from your fellow audience members. And that is the experience I hope will inspire and bring people back into the cinemas.
We're talking to Lee Jun Lee. She appears as Lady Faye Drew in the new film Babylon. Lee Jun Lee, thanks very much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. You as well.
Babylon opens in theaters tomorrow.